630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
There's Seth Jones making his way up the right wing for Chicago. He'll jump, dump it back, gave it away. Yamamoto scores! Kyler Yamamoto takes advantage of the giveaway. He goes high to the glove side. Taves gets the puck in on the left wing. Lost it. Puck played out. Here's Draisaitl. Shorthanded breakaway. Draisaitl in. Shoots. Scores! Leon Draisaitl. Shorthanded goal. And the Oilers are up 5-2.
Couple of shorties. Big ones tonight for the Edmonton Oilers as they score a 5-2 win over the Chicago Blackhawks. Yamamoto's goal in the first period made it 3-0 for Edmonton. And then Draisaitl scoring late in the third to put it away. First time since February 2nd, 2010, the Oilers score two shorthanded goals in a regular season game. On that night, it was Ryan Patalny and Ethan Morrow in a 3-2 loss to the Anaheim Ducks. Of course, they did it in a playoff game in 2017 here at Rogers Place. Cassian and McDavid shorthanded as the Oilers beat San Jose 2-0 in Game 2 of that series. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, and the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. We're going to have post-game reaction from Dave Tippett and select players coming your way throughout the rest of the evening as, Rob, the Oilers get the saves early and then blow it open, 4 goals in 9 minutes and 24 seconds in the first period.
Yeah, and in a game where you score 5 goals and you're up 4-0, you don't really think that it's a goaltender that got you to where you wanted to be. The Blackhawks pressured the Oilers a lot early. You know, the first shift of the game, Patrick Kane has the puck wide open in front of the Oilers' net. It's a big save by Skinner. If that goes in, all of a sudden it's a 1-0 game and the Chicago Blackhawks have belief. But Skinner made the big saves. He allowed his team to find its way into the game, and once they did, then it was the Chicago Blackhawks chasing the rest of the night. But Skinner was very good again, and he's given them 4 quality starts this season and 2 big wins for him in a row.
Yeah, Skinner runs his record now to 2-2 on the season, 28 saves tonight. Another good showing for him. Looks very comfortable, Rob. I mean, look, the technical art of goaltending is as mysterious as anything that exists on the planet. So I don't know if we're going to explain it, but I just look for a player, for a goaltender. Does he look steady? Does he look calm? You know, is he flopping around or is he focused on the puck and relatively quiet in net? And Skinner's look very good.
Well, as a player, you're always looking back at your goaltender throughout the night to look for a calmness, to look for somebody that feels very confident in his game. And when a goaltender's confident in his game, then you on the bench feel, okay, all right, he's on his game tonight. He's looking good. He's feeling good. And we can go play. When you see a goalie that's jittery, well, it sends shivers throughout your bench like, uh-oh, this could be a long one. But we haven't seen any of that from Skinner. Even when mistakes have been made, the one where he turned the puck over in the game, I believe, is in Detroit, where all of a sudden gives up that big goal. And after that, he just got right back to business, and it didn't seem to affect him. So he looks like a seasoned pro in net, a 10-year pro. And that's good if you're the players playing in front of him, because now you know if a mistake is made, you have someone covering your back. So another very good game for Skinner, and it's just going to earn him more and more games here while Mike Smith is gone.
So 5-2, the Oilers take it tonight. They are 13-4 on the season, 8-1 at home. Chicago, their 4-game winning streak comes to an end. Their record slips to 5-10-2 on the year. A lot of good stories for the Oilers tonight. Philip Broberg plays his first NHL game, plays 14-24, has a shot on goal, and gets an assist.
Yeah, he played well. He looked confident out there. There was a couple shifts where I just mainly watched him just to see what his game was like, and he didn't look out of place at all, and that's a good thing. He can skate. He's a big man, doesn't put himself in bad positions, moves the puck well, looked confident and comfortable, and that's what you want from a young defenseman.
And a bunch of different guys getting points tonight for the Oilers. I mean, Bouchard with 2 assists. McDavid gets 1-1. Draisaitl gets 1-1. Tyson Barrie scores. Zach Hyman gets an assist. Ryan McLeod picks up his 2nd goal of the year. Warren Fogle had a helper on that play. That's also the play Broberg got an assist on. Good night. Really good night for the line of McLeod, Fogle, and Cassian.
I thought they were the Oilers' best line tonight. That's the best the third line has looked all season. That's the best Ryan McLeod has looked for sure. So it was a good night for the Edmonton Oilers from top to bottom.
Let's go downstairs. Here's Oilers head coach Dave Tippett.
You know, we capitalized on some chances. We gave up a couple chances. Skinner was sharp early. I think that was good for him to just jump right in the game. I think the first shift, he had a grade A chance against him. He made a good save. So he got in the game early. You know, we capitalized on some chances, get a 5-on-3 and capitalize there. So we were kind of off and running, and started the second period very well. We were on our toes trying to push things along. And third period, back and forth, we made the one mistake, but it was, you know, it was solid. Solid. Broberg was solid, which was good to see.
Yeah, I was going to ask, as far as NHL debuts, you know, for defensemen, younger defensemen, what did you like about the way he handled himself tonight?
You know what, he was just, he played with poise, he played within his game, just didn't, you know, just very much in control and just made little things, the little things he should have got done, he got done. He was just solid in all those areas. Ended up getting an assist on his first assist. So just a real good start for, you know what, he played the game smart. He didn't put himself in trouble. You know, he drew a penalty. I mean, he was a solid player for us tonight.
Dave, can you talk about your third line? I thought your third line played very well tonight.
Yeah, I thought they had some glimpses last game, and then tonight they came out and just carried on from there. McLeod, that's probably his best game he's played with us. Just he's starting to gain some confidence. He's starting to make some more plays, and they were solid. They were solid. They get the puck down low. They're hard to defend. And when McLeod can transport a little bit, it helps the line.
And was this, you know, predetermined that Duncan Keith against his old team would play 25 minutes?
Well, if you could have predetermined Nursey got a broken finger, then we could have maybe said that. But, I mean, the reality is we're not asking Dunk to do anything he hasn't done before. You know, he did it for a lot of years with that team, and he was excited to play tonight. He wanted to get out there and play, and I know he's got a lot of friends on that team, but he was excited to play and pretty happy after the game.
One more thing about Yamamoto killing penalties. Was that just an offensive player, you know, thinking like an offensive player there and stealing the puck? I mean, he just got on it and bang, was in the net.
You know, we talk about McLeod's best game. That could be Yamo's best game of the year also. He was around the puck. He was making good plays. He got capitalized on the shorthander there. I mean, it's that he had his feet moving. He looked like the Yamo of a couple of years ago there tonight. So that's a good sign for him.
Thank you.
And Dave, I was going to ask about Yamamoto just in the way that he scored his goal and how nice of a shot it was. Is that more of a confidence builder, do you think, for an offensive player like him than just, you know, a cheapie around the net or something like
that? He's a two-way player. He's not just an offensive player. So he, you know, everybody wants to capitalize more. He worked hard on a shot this summer. And you've seen a couple times now when he's got a chance to use it, he can zip it pretty good. So it's a good sign. Good sign. But he played really well. You know, take the goal. The goal was nice and everything, but other than that, he played very well. He killed penalties very well for us tonight.
Sure. Seems like you might have something in your goaltender, another pretty good game for him. You see his confidence growing?
Very solid. And this was a game, you know, like we put him right back in because it's lots of emotion last game, lots of accolades, you know, really tight game against a good team. But, you know, for a young player to jump up, especially in that position, you got to get back there and do it the next night. That's what goaltenders play for a long time do. And he jumped in there. Like I say, he had to make a couple good saves early. I think that got him in the game, but he was solid all night.
Just on your penalty kill, Dave, I mean, they get a couple tonight, but shorthanded goals aside, in terms of a backbone of your team, how critical has this penalty kill been kind of start to finish for you?
Well, when you're a team that's trying to improve your goals against, that's a critical element of it. You know, we've given up more than we'd like 5-on-5, but if you were leaking 5-on-5 and you're leaking on your penalty kill, then you'd have problems. So our penalty kill has been solid all year. And, you know, there's some shots being taken, but not very many in the good areas. There's lots outside stuff that our goaltenders know where those are going to come from. And so they were, I mean, we had two shorthanded goals tonight. They were solid, especially when we haven't you know, our, some of our regular people in Archibald and Shore, some people that we were thinking were going to be our penalty killers, haven't been there. So they're out the guys that have jumped in and done a nice job.
Just on your lineup and the guys that you talk about playing well tonight, it seemed like you had a lot of speed, like between Fogle going and Cassian going, and you talk about McLeod skating well. Yeah. You like the level of speed that you're able to throw out there right now?
Well, we want to play fast. I mean, when you play fast, you can be a dangerous team. And some of that, playing fast is a couple things. One, you have to execute well. You know, you can, not everybody can skate like McDavid, open with the puck. You got to execute well, and you got to have motion to go in towards the puck and on the puck. But the execution, whether it's just getting it by somebody to skate onto it or tape to tape, if you can do that with speed, you can become a dangerous team. And that's the way we want to play. We want to be a fast team and execute. When we don't look fast, I can tell you our execution isn't where it should be. So tonight our execution was pretty good. And fast just doesn't mean all the way down the ice. Fast means in the zone, like quick to recover pucks, you know, jumping into holes, things that there's fast that you just skate fast, but then there's quickness to get on pucks. And tonight we played quick.
Dave, you've coached for a long time. Have you ever seen a shift where you cycled through all four lines, kept the puck in the other team's end?
That was interesting, yeah.
He didn't score a goal and there was a penalty.
I applaud our guys. They were doing a lot of things right. They had a guy without a stick out there. We were getting chances. But when it doesn't go in, all you're thinking is now they're going to go down in 5 seconds in our zone and puck's going to bounce out and they're going to get one. So it was, I like the, we talked about going, having a good start to the second period. We had a really good start. So it would be nice to see a couple of those chances go in.
Thank you.
With Dave, without your number one defenseman and Nurse, how did you feel like the six guys did collectively and were able to pick up the slack without him? How did you feel like that went?
Pretty solid. I think pretty solid, you know, and it's I'll have to go back and watch it, the little parts of the game that you dig into a little more. But for the most part, pretty solid. We didn't feel like we were pinned in our zone. We moved the puck all right. That was a big, big emphasis before the game, is we wanted to get back quick and move the puck quick, and we were not bad. I'll watch it a little closer, but not a bad start.
Dave, obviously a big win for you guys tonight, but just wanted to maybe get a comment on something bigger than hockey. You're wearing the tie tonight, and the Edmonton Oilers and the NHL being part of Hockey Fights Cancer Night in all NHL cities. Just the significance of that to you.
Very significant, because I don't know if it's just because you start to get older, you have a lot more people affected. And playing Chicago tonight, it's with heavy heart that I know Troy Murray is battling away, an ex-teammate of mine. And that's so you wear these things with pride, because you understand the level of concern and what people are going through, and anything you can do to bring attention to that and bring, whether it be fundraising or just awareness to it, is it's a good thing, because you're helping people.
Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
Yeah. That's Oilers head coach Dave Tippett after a 5-2 win over the Chicago Blackhawks. At Tony Brar there from Oilers TV asking that question. I'm glad he did. This was Hockey Fights Cancer Night. $615,000 in the jackpot, Rob, for the Oilers 50-50, and net proceeds from that are going to go to the Alberta Cancer Foundation. And, of course, we all know somebody who's been affected in some way. And Troy Murray, a great NHL player and Blackhawks radio analyst, who announced a few weeks ago that he's battling cancer, and obviously St. Albert connection there as well.
Well, also a teammate of mine. I played with him with the Chicago Wolves as well, so I've known Troy for a long time in my days, so I send him all the best and everyone out there that's battling with it. And I do appreciate that the National Hockey League does this, and the players get involved and the coaches get involved. It's not just a throwaway where they come in the dress and say, okay guys, put this on and this is what we're doing. The players take pride in it, and the fact that they're all out there on the blue line to start the game, they all have to write someone that they're playing for or they're fighting for. So good on them, good on the NHL, and hopefully someday we'll be able to find a cure.
We got a listener, Jay Bueller, who's going through a battle of his own, and Jesse Puljujärvi had I Fight For Him.
Well, that's awesome.
His name on there before the game when everybody was holding up a name. Oilers win it 5-2. We got to talk about the penalty kill. We talk about the power play a lot. The penalty kill, 3-for-3 tonight for Edmonton. They're 88.9% now on the season. They've killed 48 out of 54 man disadvantages, and they've scored 3 shorthanded goals. So the penalty kill is -3, 17 games into the season. That's pretty good.
Well, we've talked about it throughout the year, how important the power play has been to the Oilers and how good it is. Their penalty killing has done just as much for their wins as their power play has. Their penalty killing has turned the game around. And tonight's just a perfect example. The score's 2-0. Chicago gets on the power play. If they score a goal, all of a sudden it's 2-1. They're back in it. Instead, they give up a shorthanded goal. It's 3-0. And then you go to the third period. It's the Blackhawks had scored a couple goals. It's now 4-2. The Blackhawks get on the power play. They score a goal. It's 4-3. All momentum in the world on their side. The other score shorthanded to put the game out of reach. So the penalty kill, even without scoring their shorthanded goals, they disrupt the other team's power play. It's funny, when the Oilers have their power play, they look like they're going to score every time they step on the ice. And even when they don't, they've created momentum, they've forced the other team to tire their best players, they're all over, and then the next two or three shifts, they still have the opposition running around. The Oilers' penalty kill, the teams aren't getting momentum off it. They're not creating a ton of chances. And what we've seen over, especially the last 5 or 6 games, the Oilers have gotten the better chances, scoring chances, when they've killed. They've had 2-on-1s. They've had breakaways. They completely frustrated the other team's power play. So good on them. And as Dave Tippett talked about, there's some regulars that you would have expected to be in their penalty killing at this point in season. A Devin Shore, a Josh Archibald, aren't out there. They aren't killing. So there's other guys that have had to fill in and have filled in fantastically. As the Oilers' penalty killing, you expected the power play to be great this year, and it is. The penalty killing, there was question marks. Well, right now we're seeing a great penalty killing as well.
All right, so the 5 goals tonight for the Oilers means a $500 donation to 630 Ched Santa's Anonymous from James H. Brown and Associates. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results. They're given $100 every time the Oilers score, and that total for the season now up to $6,800 as the Oilers beat Chicago 5-2, and they are now 8-1 on home ice. Only that blemish against the Philadelphia Flyers. Okay, if you want to get in touch, the hotline is open, presented by CertainTe, the pro's choice for roofing, siding, drywall, insulation, and ceiling systems. CertainTe, pro all the way, 780-496-0063. You're going to hear from McDavid, Yamamoto, Keith, and Broberg. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
DeBrincat comes in on the left wing, shoots it, bad save by Skinner. DeBrincat gets it back to the point, the one-timer by Gustafson, and the save made by Skinner, and he held on. That was a hard shot by Erik Gustafson, who was able to walk right into it.
Another strong showing by Stuart Skinner in the Oilers' net, 28 saves and a 5-2 win over Chicago. That's his save of the game for Reface Magic. Transform your kitchen with ease. See the magic at refacemagic.ca. Rob, we were talking earlier about, as a player, wanting to look back and see your goalie calm, in control. I'll never forget a story Kelly Rudy told me a couple years ago on my show. He was early in his career playing for the Islanders, and they were playing a game at Washington, and Kelly liked having his sticks, you know, leaning in a certain way up against a wall. So he said the Capitals had a rink, a locker room attendant, like a high school kid who, you know, probably came after school, and it was his job to help get some things ready for the home team. And he had a cart of, you know, towels or something, and he had to put it where Kelly's sticks were, and he moved Kelly's sticks. And Kelly said he basically yelled at the kid in front of everybody and said, "How dare you touch my sticks?" And Kelly said when the kid left, Dennis Potvin came over to Kelly immediately and said, "Okay, Kelly, two things. First of all, you're going to find that young man, and you're going to apologize to him. We're the New York Islanders. We do not treat people that way. That kid's here is doing his job, and that's unacceptable what you did." And then Potvin said, "Number two, you just showed everybody in this locker room that you can't handle any little thing that goes wrong and how easily you're going to be bothered. And now how do we trust you in a game?"
No, it's a great point. And I've played with goalies that are both ways. I've played with goalies where nothing would bother them before a game, during the game, ever. And you, those are the type of goals you want to play for. And I've played for other guys that if you touch their pads before the game or if you hit them in the wrong place in warm-up, if you shot above the knees, anything like that, and they would, well, they'd have the goalie spaz where they'd throw their hands in the air, throw the stick. And again, you're right. If that's throwing you off, what if someone gets in your grill in the game? What if you trip? What if someone turns the puck over and now you're mad at them for causing a breakaway to come down on you? So the goaltenders that players have the most trust in are the ones that just brush everything off. The ones that when the goal goes by, whether it's a good goal or a bad goal, you pull the puck out, you take a squirt of water, and you just look at center ice and say, all right, let's go. Those are the type of goaltenders that you have faith in to get you through the tough moments.
All right, let's go to the Certainty Hotline, 780-496-0063. Well, here is someone I enjoy hearing from, though he doesn't call in that often. It is Frustrated Fan on the line. Double F, what is going on?
Oh, not much, Reed. Just a little note, I wish I would have made that prediction about the Elks this year, because maybe they would have made it to the playoffs.
That's a good point.
Yeah, getting to the Oilers. I have found, other than these last two games, the team has played really loosey-goosey and depended too much on the goaltender. The last two games, they've actually played fairly well defensively. I'm not really overly frustrated with the team in the last two games. I got to pull my hair out earlier in the season, even though we do have a great record. I have a couple of questions about tonight's game. One, do you think that hit from Fogel in the first period was boarding? Do you think that McDavid's the penalties that were called against him tonight, or penalties that he drew tonight, they were soft, in my opinion. And when you look at the replay of the roughing penalty that Hyman took, to me, it looked like that was a butt end.
Well, it was dirty.
Do you think he get suspended for that?
No, I don't think he did. A, there was no blood drawn, and it wasn't violent, but it was uncalled for. It was, I mean, especially it's Patrick Kane. It's not someone that you got a hate for. I mean, he's a skilled player that really doesn't do anything to get you off your game other than maybe score against you. So that was odd. I was actually surprised by that when Hyman did that. Were there a couple of the calls soft on McDavid? Probably.
I thought Taves hooked him. I know Taves complained about it. I thought the Kurashev holding one. That's what McDavid held
grabbed his stick
briefly.
And
this is the move McDavid does.
All the time.
This is what I tell people. And I don't fault McDavid for doing it, because I think as a player, you got to find ways. He thrusts his forearm into the guy's midsection.
He always grabs first and then pushes himself away, creating a little distance. And then the other player kind of reacts to it. He does it all the time. And it's funny, just watch. You don't notice it until you see it the first time, and then every time you see him do it, it's automatic.
You pointed it out to me a few seasons ago, and now I notice. And hey, like I said, and I guess technically if the guy does grab onto his arm, it is holding. But McDavid's also saying, hey, here, grab this, slow me down.
Well, and the one today where the guy got the penalty in the neutral zone, McDavid grabbed the guy's stick and held it, and the guy grabbed him afterwards, and he was the guy that got the penalty.
Yeah,
so
that easily could have not been called. But I thought Taves did hook him. I thought I saw a hook there. So I don't know.
I don't know, but I don't recall the Fogel one. I don't know which one you're talking about right there.
The Fogel one was at the very beginning of the game. Him and I think it was Cassian went into the corner and hit the guy, and the guy turned the guy from Chicago. I can't remember the guy's name or his number, but he went and turned to play the puck, and Fogel hit him in the numbers.
Honestly, it doesn't stand out to me, so I watch for things like that. I don't remember it all, so to me, if I didn't see it, if it didn't stand out, it probably wasn't anything major. But then again, I could have been looking at my phone at that point too.
I'm not trying to complain or anything. It's just like you guys had mentioned, McDavid always grabs the stick when he goes in. So when he doesn't get some calls, that's where I look at it, is that there are things that he gets away with that he doesn't that
no,
don't
there
get
is,
called,
but there's also right? like, there's also and, things and I, that happen to McDavid that don't get called as well, so it
oh,
it usually evens
right?
out.
So that's why I respect when I watched the interview with McDavid there, and he said I don't really want to talk about it. I respect him more now than when he first came into the league, because when you go back to everybody was complaining about not being called against McDavid. And I think it was the Chicago game where Edmonton got six penalties within the first, I want to say 25 minutes of the game.
Oh, Buffalo, they had six power plays in the first half of the game.
Right? Yep. But it was after everybody complained, the media, the players, everybody was complaining. They got that. To me, that threw Edmonton's off their game. Do I think penalties should be called? Absolutely. Do I think McDavid should be drawing more penalties? Absolutely. But when they, like the other thing too, when I watch the league, and it's not just the Oilers, everybody, anytime anybody gets touched, they're always looking back at the ref, looking for the call. And as a former official in a different sport, when people start looking for calls every time they get touched, you tend to start to ignore it. Because it's like, yeah. Hey, what did they do now? Are you going to actually, like, to me, as a former official of a different sport, I go and I look at the players. Do you actually trust me to call the game?
Right. Well, the problem is the thing is, a lot of players don't trust the refs to call the game properly. That's why they're looking back.
Well, they're always trying to get any advantage.
Normally when a player looks back is when he's fouled. So he's looking back, okay, did you catch that? Oh. I mean, as long as you don't embarrass the referee by throwing your hands up or yelling or something like that, but the look back is fine because you're just, okay, did they get that call? No, okay, well, then I'm going to back check now. So, but from my experience as a player and from being around the game, I'd say 80% of the time when a player looks back, it was because he truly was fouled on the play and just checking to see if the referee noticed it as well.
All right, 780-496-0063, 5-2 Oilers win over Chicago. By the way, Chad is our winner of a $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Excitement, bet on it. He gets the River Cree under for Broberg's ice time today. I set the line at 18 minutes, and Broberg played 14:24. We will go to Sir Robert on the CertainTeed hotline. Robert, go ahead. Hey, Robert, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess I want to start a little bit with talking about that third line because I thought this was easily one of the best games I've seen from McLeod, but I also thought this was probably Fogle's best game as an Oilers. Kind of wonder what you guys are thinking about that, and then I want to touch a little bit on Skinner. I mean, everybody was a little, you know, worried about, you know, well, no, is Skinner ready for the NHL? I mean, personally, in my opinion, is he ready to be that full time backup? No, but based on what we've seen in these last two starts, to me, he's no worse than the backup for next year, 2022-23. Kind of wondering what you guys think about that.
Well, I think that's the ideal plan.
That's what they hope. I mean, he's got to continue to show progression. He's got to continue to show consistency, and that's what they're hoping for. It's been a nice start for him. You're not going to give him anything until, you know, he's played 20, 25, 30 games, whatever it is, but it's been a good start. You can't have a good stretch, a long stretch, unless you have a start of a good stretch, and that's what he's done thus far. He's been good as for Fogle. Fogle was really good tonight. Fogle started the season well. He and his line mates, Cassian and Derek Ryan at that point, the first four or five games, they were good. Fogle was very good. And then they hit a bit of a speed bump, and they weren't as effective. And then the line changed a little bit. They threw Devin Shore there. Then there was an injury. They threw McLeod there. But The line tonight was excellent. Dave Tippett talked about it. They showed signs and spurts last game, but tonight from start to finish, they were very effective. Very effective. And if the Oilers can get that out of them on a pretty consistent base, then the Oilers are going to be a better hockey club. The momentum continued when they were on the line, on the ice. And a great example, and we've talked about it earlier, is the fact that the Oilers had the puck in the offensive zone, and they had all four lines at some point on the ice. So that shows you that the momentum is staying and they're pushing it forward from lines one through four.
That's our adjustment of the game for Pro Drain Techs for peace of mind down the line as the Oilers get four goals in the first period. They score two shorthanded goals in a regular season game for the first time since February of 2010, 5-2 win over Chicago. We have Phil on the Certainty Hotline. Hey, Phil, go ahead.
Oh, hey, guys. Absolutely love your show. I was going to talk about the third line, but the last caller actually really covered it actually really, really well. So I'm going to go back on the fact that I've been a ref in rugby, hockey, soccer, and football.
Oh, cool.
So flat out, I hate hating or you know, negative talking about other callers, but I disagree with the last on you. The calls on the ice and the calls when it's happening are so much harder to do, and trying to actually get a call that especially how fast hockey is and how fast a lot of games are, you're going to get really, really messed up by the speed. But you always make the call. It doesn't matter if somebody's looking. It doesn't matter if a player is staring you right in the eyes. You make the call based on the rules. Every ref does it. No one gets, well, as far as I've ever, and I ref rugby, and I was the smallest guy in the field, no one gets off the call based on a guy looking at you. A ref, I gotta say flat out, a ref has his own pride. He's gonna make the call based on the call.
Yeah.
He's gonna, now if you don't see it, fine. There's nothing to do about not seeing it. And I've been a dude who's held game calls on their shoulders because they didn't see it, but you're still going to make the call. So the whole eyes on you and someone's looking at you and someone's giving the ref the stink eye afterwards, that's not going to affect, in my humble opinion, that's not going to affect anything at all.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
Well, you know, a really good point. And as a player, first of all, it's easy to be a ref in the stands and in the press box and sitting in your living room because you get a bunch of different angles. And it's quite easy to see, especially when they show replays. It's much harder when you're on the ice. And as you said, there's big men on the ice. And your view could be obscured. They're going fast. You're trying to watch the entire ice surface as you're doing it. The one thing that players do not like, they do not like when refs make calls that didn't happen. If a ref misses a call, it's completely understandable. I mean, they just didn't have the right angle. They turned away. Someone was in their way. They couldn't see it the same way from the opposite side of where the penalty was done. Players understand that what players cannot stand is when the ref makes a call that didn't happen. And sometimes that happens, and the ref says, okay, that's a high stick, and you're like, no, it wasn't. Yep, I saw it. And that's what really drives players crazy. If you don't see it, don't call it. If you can't see it, well, that's not your fault.
Yeah, but I think he made a great point. If the speed of the game, the angle that refs have on the ice is not the same thing we have on
TV. That's why it's way easier to see from up here.
Or on the rink. I mean, look, I actually think the first three games of the Oilers road trip I thought were oddly refereed. I mean, I don't have trouble pointing that out. I'm not saying that it's an easy job. I think for the most part the reffing's been fine. And if a ref does make a mistake, I think we got to remember they probably feel awful about it, or they look at tape.
Some
and
of them
self-evaluate.
Maybe
some don't, but I mean they self-evaluate and get and talk to their superiors too. So they know
they self-evaluate, and they also get evaluated by the National Hockey League.
Right.
Bad referees don't stay around long. Good referees keep their job. Good referees get to ref in the playoffs and the more important games. So I've said it every time we've talked about refs. These are the best refs in the world. It's not even close. Wherever you look, you will not find better refs in the National Hockey League. They have good games. They have bad games. Just like coaches coach good and bad, and players have good and bad hockey games. So do refs.
McDavid, Barry, Yamamoto, McLeod, Draisaitl, the goal scorers for the Oilers. DeBrincat had both for the Blackhawks. Edmonton takes it 5-2 tonight at Rogers Place. We have Maddie on the Certainty Hotline. Hey, Maddie, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hope you're doing good. I called about 3-4 weeks ago and talked to primarily Rob there and said that I thought that, I thought Skinner could be the next Jordan Binnington situation, and Rob seemed to think that Koskinen was an NHL caliber goalie, and Skinner wasn't there yet. And I know it's only been two games, but I just wanted to kind of see, especially with Rob, where your thoughts were with Skinner and with where my thought process was.
Well, Skinner's been very good. He's been fantastic in these games. If Mike Smith comes back, he's going to be your starter. And if he's your starter, you still got Koskinen in a $4.5 million contract. Now, if Smith comes back and doesn't play to where they had hoped he would or where they expect him to, well, then you could have a different situation. But Skinner's trying to get more games and trying to show what he's capable of doing. But if Mike Smith comes back and plays to his abilities, Mike Smith's going to be your starter because they're not – And this is my opinion. They're not going to carry three goaltenders. And they're not going to sit out. I don't know what they would do with Koskinen and his $4.5 million contract. Mike Smith is their starter, and that's who they want to run with when he's healthy. If something goes sideways, well, then all of a sudden Stuart Skinner's name gets thrown into the equation as to whether or not he could start. But if Mike Smith's not healthy, then that's where I think the Oilers may look for another goaltender at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, basically, they didn't think Smith was going to be out this long.
No, he was supposed to be day-to-day.
It was day-to-day, then it's week-to-week, and now it's week-to-week at best, is how Tippett put it yesterday. So
yeah.
Skinner has probably already had, this was what, his
fourth start,
appearance. That's probably already three or four more starts than they thought he would have had coming up.
So what the caller's wanting to know is if we think that Skinner could become the Jordan Binnington of the Edmonton Oilers and lead them the rest of the way into the playoffs.
Well, that'd be a great story.
But we're still, if Mike Smith, this is his crease. If he gets healthy and comes back and plays, this is his crease. And then you have a $4.5 million backup in Koskinen, and Skinner probably goes to the farm.
And plays almost every game.
And that's what they want. They're not going to want him to sit up here.
Yeah. Oilers win at 5-2, 780-496-0063. We have Tom standing by. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Awesome. You guys put on a really great show. It makes the drive back to Red Deer more enjoyable these late nights, so that's awesome. Couple things I wanted to touch on. I know it's only been a couple games for Stu Skinner, but it is a breath of fresh air not seeing that first hard shot go in. You know, Chicago's first shot was a really good chance, and he saved it and stayed composed, so that was really great to see.
That's a great point, because that was a huge save at that point on Patrick Kane.
And then the team just plays more confident in front of him. The second point is Duncan Keith. I don't know about you guys, but I think he just eats up the minutes, and he's been a breath of fresh air as well. What do you think?
Personally, I think he's been very up and down, but he had a good game tonight.
I agree with Reed on that.
I really enjoy the show, and like I said, keep it up.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Drive safe.
Sorry we stole Mooner from you, Red Deer folks. It had to happen.
I am sure the Red Deer folks are very happy for Cam Moon and his progression in his occupation.
We love Mooner. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. We got Andy, Cam, and Greg next up in the batting order on the phone lines. You're going to hear from McDavid and Yamo as well. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Up the right wing, puck goes to Puljujarvi. His pass off the stick of McDavid back into the Chicago end. Seth Jones behind the net, lost it to Hyman. Now to McDavid, pass out to the middle, just missed Puljujarvi. Now from the point, loose puck, scores! Connor McDavid found the loose puck at the side of the net. He puts it home, and the Oilers are up 1-0.
Connor McDavid gets his 12th as the Oilers beat Chicago 5-2. Here's McDavid and Yamamoto.
Off that that game against Winnipeg, that tight checking game, I know you guys were happy with the way you played. What did you think of your follow-up performance?
Obviously I liked the win. I thought we were a little loose, especially early. I liked our second period. I thought we gave them chances that we probably shouldn't have gave them, but overall I like our game. I like that we won.
Tyler, I mean, you came through with a shorthanded goal tonight. Maybe just your thoughts on the time you're spending on the penalty kill and how nice it is to produce from the penalty kill, which is kind of rare.
Oh, it's nice. It was my first year kind of where I've gotten a chunk of the penalty kill, so it's been nice and, you know, getting more comfortable with it, and you know, I was lucky to be able to capitalize tonight.
So, Caleb, when you score the... Yeah, Kyler, when you score that goal, are you yelling at Seth Jones, I'm here, or did you read that play?
No, it was actually a really good play by Sieves. I think he kicked it right to the middle. You know, put me in a really good scoring chance, so I'll give a lot of credit to him.
Kyler, I know you've been working a lot on your shot, and when a goal like that goes in, quite a good shot, what does that do for you?
Oh, it's big. I've been talking about it. You know, you guys haven't really seen it, but, you know, luckily to get that one tonight, and just gonna keep shooting, I guess.
Connor, what did you think of the defense in its first game without Darnell Nurse?
Yeah, I thought they were good. You know, I liked how, you know, Dunk played a lot. He stepped up against his former team. I thought he played great. I thought Broby stepped in there and did a great job. You know, can't complain about that.
Yeah, and just a little more on Philip Broberg in his first game. He got almost 14 and a half minutes, played more as the game went on. What did you think of his performance tonight?
Yeah, I thought he got better and better as the night went on. Obviously, he's a big man, and he skates well. And, you know, I thought, you know, he looked comfortable right away.
And Kyler, just a thought on your goaltender, Stuart Skinner, who's got a couple of consecutive starts here and has played well in both of them.
Yeah, he's been playing phenomenal. He's been a brick wall back there for us. We need him to keep having good games.
Connor, what was it like when you went through four lines with that one shift? Ever seen that before, even in junior hockey, where you went through all four lines on that one shift in the second period?
You don't see it a ton. Obviously, I thought it was a great job by everybody. You know, those usually end up in a goal or a penalty. So, you know, we definitely had our looks throughout that time in the O-zone. But, definitely pretty impressive to roll through all four like that.
Kyler, just in the back here, Kyler. It took you a while to get your first goal of the season. Now you've obviously are up for it this year. You had a big goal in St. Louis on the last road trip. Do you feel like you've changed anything in your game, or are you continuously doing the same things and they're finally coming to you?
I think I'm just doing the same things. I'm just trying to trust the process and you know, keep working every day. They weren't going in at the beginning. Now they are. So just trying to keep doing the same things and hopefully they'll keep going in.
McDavid and Yamamoto both score. Oilers win 5-2 over Chicago. I don't think the mics picked it up, but I'm just seeing on social media, apparently, while that was going on and the MVP chants were reining in from 104th Avenue, Yamamoto leaned over to McDavid and said, "Those are for me."
Well, they are. He's absolutely right. It is kind of neat. I mean, we don't get to see that or witness that because we're up here during the interviews, but I walked down the street the other day on the way to the game and just looked in the window and tried to imagine what the fans see looking in at the end of the night when they're doing these interviews, and also thinking of what the players are looking out into the street and seeing and hearing the fans do. Pretty cool atmosphere. It's neat that they built it that way. They put the interviews there, and the Oilers, if they continue to have success and moves on through the regular season into the playoffs, I think there'd be a lot of fun nights out there during the post-game interviews.
I'll tell you what else is fun. You can go to 630ched.com, print up a coupon for a free appetizer to Japanese Village. Try the legendary Wagyu steak cooked before your eyes. Reserve now at jvedmonton.ca. That is the Japanese Village goal light. We turn it on anytime the Oilers score five or more in a game. All right, back to the CertainTeed hotline. We have Andy. Hello, Andy. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. I thought the big question coming into the game tonight was the defense. I know my brother was predicting doom and gloom. Kevin Bieksa mentioned that he didn't like the Oilers' defense without Darnell Nurse being in the lineup. After tonight, I think Duncan Keith is now running our defense, and I thought he was excellent distributing the puck. And if he didn't play well tonight, I thought our defense would falter. Overall, I thought the defense was maybe one of the best games. We hardly gave up any goals tonight, so maybe you guys want to talk about that a little bit.
Well, I mean, the Oilers started slow, and there was a lot of mistakes made early in the hockey game, and Stuart Skinner, saved the Oilers a number of times. I mean, the Oilers gave up a two-on-one a minute into the first period. They gave up a goal-scoring chance to Patrick Kane 30 seconds into the game, and Stuart Skinner was strong on those plays, but then they settled down. The Chicago Blackhawks, the Oilers without Darnell Nurse, it is a big loss. He is by far their best defenseman, and there's no one even close. There's not a close second. And it is a big drop-off. They weren't tested a lot tonight because Chicago's not a strong hockey club. They've got off to a terrible start. They had a little bit of a resurgence over the last few games, but a couple of those were on the backs of their goaltender, Marc-Andre Fleury. This isn't a test. There will be tests coming up for the Edmonton Oilers without Nurse in the lineup. Duncan Keith did have a good game tonight, but he's had an up-and-down game, or up-and-down season. I think he may be a leader in the dressing room, but the leader on the ice will always be Darnell Nurse on this team. The Oilers can survive for a while without him. Good hockey clubs survive without players. Injuries happen all the time. But if this was to be a playoff situation where Darnell Nurse was out of the lineup, the Oilers would be in trouble.
Let's check the other town scoreboard here. Busy night in the NHL. The Calgary Flames continue to do well. They and the Oilers right up there at the top of the Pacific Division. Flames over the Islanders 5-2. The scoreboard for Edmonton Trailer. Looking for parts, service, rentals, or new and used semi-trailers, head to edmontontrailer.com. Canadians, an unusual win over the Predators, and I'm not saying that just because the Canadians don't win a lot. How they won, they're up 5-0. Matt Duchene gets a natural hat trick of power play goals in the third to make it interesting, but the Canadiens win 6-3. Penguins shut out the Maple Leafs 2-0. Hurricanes beat the Kings 5-4. Devils down the Lightning 5-3. Panthers knock off the Wild 5-4. It is Boston getting a 5-2 win over Philly. The Coyotes, who the Oilers are going to see in a few days, 2-1 overtime victory against the Red Wings. Dallas, next opponent for the Oilers, 4-1 decision against the Blues. Golden Knights get by the Blue Jackets 3-2. Capitals shut out the Sharks 4-0. The Capitals, only two regulation losses. They're 11-2-5 on the season. Ovechkin got his 13th and 14th goals of the year. Okay, back to the CertainTeed hotline. We have Cam standing by. Hey, Cam.
Hey, guys, quick question for you. We got Dallas on Tuesday and Phoenix on Thursday. Would you play Skinner against Dallas?
I'd play Koskinen because he's had awesome games against Dallas in the past, and then I would do Skinner the next night. Rob? Ooh.
Nope, sounds good to me. I trust you on that one.
What would you do?
Yeah. Well, I'd play Skinner against Dallas.
Okay. You want to put a beer on it?
Dallas is a better team than Phoenix, correct?
Dallas is a better team than Phoenix.
Yeah, well,
is.
Almost everybody's better than Arizona.
Well, actually, everyone is.
That's why we'll put Skinner. I mean, he's done two good games. Why not put him in for the third one?
My gut tells me they're going to start Koskinen because of how he's played in Dallas in the past, and I think they'll split him that way. But if I'm wrong, you can call in after.
All right, man. Have a good night, you guys. Take care.
Okay. I don't know. I've never coached in the NHL.
Well, you and I, every time we predict who's going to play next, we get it wrong anyway. So
I'm too busy working on opening my casino in the basement of my house.
I bet you're going to do well.
It's going to be awesome. 780-496-0063. Going to be the first casino that has a dog as a dealer.
Well, that'd be pretty cool.
Well, the dogs do play poker,
they
though.
They do. Yeah,
but they're not dealing.
No, they're smoking cigars and drinking.
It's going to be a good painting, too. Oilers win 5-2. Greg is on the line. Hey, Greg, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Quite well.
Yeah, just coming back from the game tonight. So, yeah, I found it very kind of unusual there to run all four lines in the offensive zone. I was wondering if Rob ever seen that before in an NHL game.
If so, probably against me, not so much going the other way. No, honestly, I didn't. And I was up here, and I just, when they got the third line out there, I'm like, oh, come on. Don't score. Don't get puck come out. I wanted to see the fourth line. Then I'm like, okay, I want this to keep on going, see how many lines they can get on the ice. And the thing that was so funny about it is the poor Chicago Blackhawk five players that are on the ice, they're dead tired. I'd love to see, know how long the shift was, but they're dead tired. And the fourth line that they face is Connor McDavid. So Connor McDavid, when he goes head-to-head against anyone and you're both 100%, Connor McDavid's got a huge advantage. Now you're going against Connor and you've been on the ice for 2.5-3 minutes, and here comes a fresh Connor McDavid onto the ice, and he took advantage of them. Bouchard had a complete wide-open net that he hit the crossbar and it missed. But that was it. It was a great example of good team play, too, because the players in the offensive zone, that's what you're supposed to do. If you have the opportunity to change, change in the offensive zone. And they kept getting fresh legs out there. It was a great shift. And it was a tired bunch of Chicago Blackhawks who their defensemen still couldn't change. Is when the puck finally got out, two forwards got off, but the defensemen had to stay, end up in their own zone for a little bit longer. But no, I've never seen that before, and I was actually kind of excited up here in the press box watching it.
Okay, Broberg made his debut tonight, got an assist. Keith played a little over 25 minutes. You'll hear from those two guys when we get back. Oilers take it 5-2. They're 13-4. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
For Kubalik, now cross ice to Seth Jones, comes in on the right wing, shoots it, saved by Skinner, he'll hold on.
Skinner, 28 saves, good performance. Oilers beat Chicago 5-2. Philip Broberg got an assist, first point in his first game. Here are Broberg and Duncan Keith.
Well, Duncan, all that was made about facing your former team, and how did you feel like you were able to do it, you know, against them tonight?
Sorry.
I just asked, you know, a lot was made coming into this game about you getting a chance to play your former team. How did you feel like you were able to do against them tonight?
Well, I think it was, you know, huge win for our team, good team effort. Obviously a little weird playing the old team, throwing that jersey on for a long time, and you know, a lot of fond memories with that team and organization, especially with Kane and Taze. But you know, I think it was good to get that one out of the way a little bit in some ways, and you know, just another page forward here.
Was there a point in the game, early in the game, where it did feel pretty weird? The you had to kind of pinch yourself to know what you're doing out there a little bit?
Oh, I've been here a few games now and settled in, so it's feeling good to be a part of this team and organization, and you know, that's where it is. So you know, it was good team win, and good to keep it going. We got good fans, passionate fans, as you can see, and it's fun to be a part of.
Philip, how did you feel coming into the game? Were you nervous, and how do you think it went for you?
Of course you're nervous for the first game, first couple of shifts, but I felt good off their first shifts, and just got into the game pretty good. So I felt good.
What sorts of things did the coaches ask you to do, and what were you focused on? Were you maybe trying to keep it simple in the first game?
I wanted to play my game. That's, I guess, why they want to play me, to play my game and help the team. And I just play simple and keep it simple. And
And sorry if it's awkward because he's sitting next to you, but just what did you think of you know, a young guy playing in his first game, what you saw, Duncan?
It was impressive. I mean, obviously he's got a lot of poise and he's a big, strong guy. And you saw that he was able to break up some plays at the blue line, made some really nice plays out of the zone. So for a first game, I thought it was, you know, it was great. And you're just going to keep building and get better and better. And you can tell he's going to be a great player in this league.
Duncan, do you remember your first game?
Yeah, I do.
How did that go?
Sorry?
How did it go?
We were playing the Anaheim Ducks, and I don't even know if we won or lost, but I just remember being there at the Anthem in Chicago and standing on the blue line with the crowd cheering. It was pretty special moment to play my first game in the league, and that's something I always remember. So, you know, I'm sure Broby's going to remember his tonight.
You can kind of feel how Philip felt then.
you played, it was a long time ago you played your first one, but you can kind of feel for him through this.
Yeah, for sure. I think he was probably a lot more solid than me. It looked like, he looked poised back there, and he's a big, strong guy. So, like I said, he's going to just keep building and have a long career, hopefully. And I think he's got a lot of ingredients to be a great defenseman, and he already is.
Thank you.
Philip, I wonder what you think about all of this.
It's awesome. The fans here are real loud, and for sure a sixth player on the ice that helps the team, so it's great support to have behind you in the back.
Philip, aside from the win tonight, what will you always remember about this game? You know, if you think about it 5-10 years down the road, what will you always kind of remember about this today and this game?
Probably the first lap on the warm-up. You get out there and the first shifts, probably you remember going to remember for a long time. So yeah, it was a great win for us, and even better that we got the win on the first game as well.
But what stood out about the doing the lap and about the first shift? Was there something specific that kind of happened for you?
Not really. Just that the first shift in the NHL is always special. So I was excited.
Can you describe your first point too? Was it a great play by you, or how would you kind of describe it?
I just tried to rim it down, tie it up on the blue line, and they made two great plays, and it ended up being a goal, so very fortunate.
Philip, just in the back here, can you take us through the last 24 hours of where you were when you got the call that you were heading to Edmonton, and what the moments looked like heading into tonight's game for you?
I was in Baco, just getting ready to go to bed, and I got the call, and the next morning I was on the flight here, and excited to maybe get the opportunity to play, and now play the game. Yeah, he's real lucky and happy.
Who was the first person you called?
My mom.
Awesome. I'm sure Mama Broberg is proud. Philip gets an assist, helping the Oilers win 5-2 tonight over Chicago. Two shorthanded goals by the Oilers in this one. Yamamoto got one in the first period, Draisaitl in the third. First time since February of 2010 the Oilers get two shorties in a regular season game. They did do it in the playoffs in 2017. Okay, 13-4 now for Edmonton, 8-1 at home. They're back out on the road. Next game is Tuesday at Dallas. Our coverage on 6:30 Ched will start with the faceoff show at 5. The game will start at 6:30. Of course, Bob Stauffer will have Oilers Now from noon to 2 on Monday, and I'll have Inside Sports from 6 to 8. Get more on the Oilers on 630ched.com or globalnews.ca. Thanks to Troy Bowler, our game day engineer at Rogers Place, and to Angie Quinnell, our studio producer back at 6:30 Ched. We've been in the Friesen Brothers Broadcast Center. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Oilers beat the Hawks 5-2. Have a great night.
6:30 Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Ched.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.